All right, we're in Daniel chapter 9 tonight. As we progress through the book, we have slowed down immensely. Last week we did two verses, and this week we're going to do two verses. But I hope you're getting something out of this. I'm enjoying it. I hope you are as well. It's a great book, just absolutely amazing book. And there are some things now that we're going to start with the third verse. And it runs all the way through verse 19. And then in verse 20 and through the end of the chapter is more prophecy. What we have in verse 3 through verse 19 is Daniel's prayer. And there are several great things in this prayer, so we can't just go skipping over the narrative and just stick with the prophecy. There are several things that will be a blessing to us, and it will help us, so we've got to stay on track here with our study. All right, so look at verse 3. He says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." Now let's go ahead and read verse 5. He said, "We have sinned and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments." All right, I'll stop reading right there, because I doubt we'll get much further than that tonight. But there are several things that I want to point out to you this evening. First, before we get actually to what is said, we're going to take an overall look at Daniel's prayer and why he stopped to pray, why he took the time to pray. We're going to look at that and make a few other applications, and then basically starting, if we have time at the end of tonight, we will get into the individual statements and verses and see the content of this prayer. But it's an amazing thing that Daniel is getting this. He gets a vision in chapter 7. He gets a vision in chapter 8. Then 10 years after chapter 8, he gets another vision. And then you will notice that in chapter 8, Belshazzar is the king. Belshazzar was a Babylonian. So the Babylonians are still on the throne, they're still ruling. But now in chapter 9, verse 1, Darius is the king. So the Babylonians were defeated, and the Medes and the Persians are now reigning over Babylon. All right, so in the midst of all this prophecy, here Daniel prays, and the prayer is recorded for us. So there's got to be something in it that is important, or it wouldn't be here. And so we're going to look at it tonight. All right, let's pray together first, and then we'll proceed. Our Father, how we thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, what a blessing it is to be able to open the Bible and to be able to study it and to learn it. And Lord, I pray that you will bless us this evening in a great way. Father, I pray you'll help me as I speak. And I pray you'll help me to say what I need to say. I pray that you will also help each one of us to listen and glean and learn what we can. Lord, help us tonight. This is such an important book, and here in this ninth chapter, it's such an important chapter in the book. So Lord, bless us this evening, and may the Lord be lifted up and exalted, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, let's do just a quick review in case there's somebody here that hasn't, I don't want you not to know what's going on. All right, the children of Israel were conquered. They were overrun by the Babylonians, right? Remember that? All right, in the first chapter, here comes King Nebuchadnezzar, and they come in and they start carrying the people back. They were bringing the young men back. Daniel is one of those young men. All right, this happened in 605 BC. All right, now 30 years before Nebuchadnezzar came, there was a prophet who prophesied and said that Israel was going to be overrun by the Babylonians. And he also told them, he said, when you get over there in Babylon, he said, you make sure that you build houses and that you marry wives and so on and so forth. In other words, you're going to be there a while. All right? And he told them that they would be held in captivity for 70 years. All right? Now, what was that prophet's name? Jeremiah. All right, very good. Now, before Jeremiah, about 130 years before Jeremiah, there was another prophet, and this prophet got a prophecy from God. We looked at it last week, and this prophet said that there would be a king by the name of Cyrus who would let Israel go. All right, what was that prophet's name? Isaiah. All right, now, the amazing thing is that God gave Isaiah the name of that prophet. Isn't that amazing? Have you all thought on that? Have you reflected on that? I mean, I'm telling you, I that just absolutely blows me away. So now, here's Daniel, and it's at the end of the captivity. He has been in Babylon for 70 years. And he gets this. He gets these visions. The first one he got was when he first, insight he had was when he first came into Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king in Babylon, had this dream. And in that dream, he saw this big image. And there was a head of gold, and it was a chest of silver, and it was the belly of brass, and then iron, and the 10 toes. You remember that vision? And nobody could figure it out. They brought in all the soothsayers and all the magicians. They brought in all the scholars. They brought in everybody, and they said, "Okay, tell me what this means." He said, "Tell me the dream, and then tell me what it means." Well, of course, none of them could do that. They couldn't do that. So he was going to execute. He was going to execute the whole lot. He was just going to kill him, because he said, "If you can't tell me what my dream was, and then tell me the interpretation of it, then you're all fakes and hypocrites. So I'm going to kill you." All right. So word got to Daniel, and Daniel said, "Lord, I'm going to go talk to him. Give me the understanding." So Daniel went in the next morning and confronted the king and told the king, number one, what his dream was. Where did he get that information? God told him, that's where. And then he told him the interpretation. So in the interpretation, Daniel learned, because God revealed it to him, that Babylon would be eventually replaced, that a kingdom would come. It did not tell him what kingdom, just said a kingdom would come. And then you had the rest of the vision. All right, so he knows that there are succeeding kingdoms that are coming. He does not know the time frame. He does not know that it's 70 years in captivity. He doesn't know that yet. He does not know the Medes and the Persians are going to reign for about 200 years. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know that the Greeks are going to come and Alexander the Great is going to conquer the whole region and rule for about 30 years. He doesn't know all that. He does not know that the Romans are coming. He just simply knows that there is going to be a succession of kingdoms. Then in chapter 7, he gets this vision. And then in chapter 8, he gets this vision. And now here he is in chapter 9. Now, between chapter 8, watch me now, between chapter 8 and chapter 9 is a 10-year period. He got his first vision in chapter 7 in the first year of Belshazzar's reign in Babylon. Then he got his second vision in the third year, and so he's got 7 years left under Babylonian rule. At the end of that 7 years, is the start of chapter 9. And when you start chapter 9, what you see is a king, look at it please, says it's the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of all the Chaldeans. Now, understand this. Who was Darius? Who was Ahasuerus? All right, Darius is the son of Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus is Cyrus the Great. Now, I failed to mention that to you last week, and I can't believe I failed to mention that to you last week, but I did. All right? So, please understand that Ahasuerus, that's the Hebrew transliteration of his name, Ahasuerus is Cyrus the Great. Now, you remember, look at me now, you remember you had the Medes and the Persians, and the two became one, and thus it was the Medo-Persian Empire. All right? Cyrus was the king over the whole realm, and he appointed people to be leaders over certain parts of this vast, huge empire. And he gave the Chaldeans, he gave to his son Babylon. When they conquered Babylon, he, Cyrus, gave Darius, his son, the reign over Babylon, over the Chaldeans. All right? Now, here's Daniel. All right? I'm just trying to bring you up to date here. Here's Daniel now, and it's the first year that Darius is on the throne. The Babylonians are out, and Daniel's still in Babylon, but the Medes and the Persians are now running Babylon. Darius on the throne, Cyrus the head of the whole empire, and in that seven-year period, Daniel goes back and starts studying the scriptures. He's had all these visions. He knows that something's going on. He knows God's working. He knows God's about to do something. And so he goes back into the scriptures according to verse 2. And he said in verse 2 that I understood the books and the numbers of the years. So what he did was here, 70 years have passed now. The Medes and the Persians are here. The chest of silver that he saw and the beast that came up out of the water in chapter 7 and the he goat out of chapter 8. So all this is now starting to make sense to him. So he goes back in the Bible, finds out that Jeremiah prophesied and said, you will be there for 70 years. So now here's Daniel, and he goes, wow, well, this 70 years are up. We're going to be set free. They're going to let us go. So he keeps studying the scripture, and lo and behold, what does he find out? He finds out that God had told Isaiah that a king named Cyrus was going to be the one that lets them go. All right? Everybody with me on that? And so, hey, think about it. If you were Daniel and you figured all this stuff out as you were reading the scripture and the Spirit of God began to identify with your spirit and show you the truth and give you understanding of these visions that you had had, what would you do? What would you do? I tell you what Daniel did. He fell on his face before God Almighty, and he humbled himself, and he was broken, and he prays and recognizes that God is God. That's what he does. And that's what is included here in verse 3 down through verse 19. It's an amazing thing that Daniel sees. He sees God's plan, and he knows that the 70 years is almost up. And so now imagine, he's got it all figured out now. And he's sitting here, and he begins to ask himself, wow, Isaiah said Cyrus is going to let us go. Cyrus is now our king. He's the final decision in what goes on. And he begins to ask himself this question. How many of the Jews will want to leave their cushy life here in Babylon and go back to poor, desecrated, beaten down, demolished Jerusalem. How many are going to want to leave? I mean, he's sitting there thinking, you know, even if King Cyrus came in the gate today and said, okay, all you Jews, you can go back to your homeland. Daniel is sitting there wondering how many of them would want to go. And so what does this man of God do? What does this man who believes the word of God and knows that God cannot lie and that God is in complete control of the situation, what does he do? Well, he decided that he's going to pray about the matter. He's going to pray about the matter. Look at verse 3. He said, "And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." Prayer is asking. All right? Prayer is asking. You say, well, what is a supplication? Supplication is asking for someone else. That is interceding for someone else. When you say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me, and then I pray for you, I am offering supplication to God on your behalf. I'm praying for you. All right? And then you'll see here with fasting. What is that? Well, that's going without food. That's going without sleep. You're giving up the temporal in order to get the eternal. All right? That's fasting. And then sackcloth and ashes. What's that? That is humbling yourself. You put on sackcloth, just old goat skin. I mean, you are broken, you are humbled. And you put ashes on your body to show us as a sign of humility. And so what does the man of God do? He decides to pray. And that's what we have in verse 3 through verse 19. And here's the amazing thing, folks. The amazing thing is that God the Holy Spirit included Daniel's prayer in the book of Daniel so that you and I would have it, so you and I could read it, and so you and I could be edified by this man's prayer. Now listen very carefully to this statement. I want you to listen to this. Studying prophecy stimulates the spiritual life in the believer. It does, doesn't it? Have you noticed that? I mean, when you study prophecy, that stimulates life in the believer. It certainly stimulated life in Daniel. I mean, he got these visions, and in chapter 7, the last verse, it says that he was troubled by them. In the last verse of chapter 8, he said he was sick after he got the vision for a number of days, and then eventually got back to the king's business, but that drove him to the scriptures. Having an understanding of prophecy and being interested in what God's plan is stimulates the spiritual life in the believer. Now, how did it stimulate Daniel? Well, it drove him to the books. That's how. It drove him to the books, chapter 9, verse 2. It drove him to study the prophets. It drove him to study the Bible to see what God was going to do. He did not immediately understand everything God said to him that he was going to do, but he knew God was going to execute his plan. And he had the utmost of confidence in the Word of God. And so study and prophecy stimulates the spiritual life in the believer. Now listen to me, folks. Daniel had books. You and I have a whole lot more books than what Daniel had. Daniel didn't have Revelation. Daniel didn't have 2 Thessalonians 2. He didn't have 1 Thessalonians 4. He didn't have Matthew 24 and 25. He did not have Zechariah. He did not have the minor prophets. You and I have the benefits of all these extra books. And folks, we have a lot more books than Daniel had. We have a great deal more revealed to us in the Word of God about God's plan for the future. We have a lot more than Daniel ever had. Now, what do we know? We know that the promise in these books that we call the Bible, we know that the promise is in the books that Jesus is coming back a second time. We know that. It's not mentioned just once or just twice, but some 250 times, 260 times, the second coming of Christ is mentioned in the New Testament. I mean, we know the Bible teaches us Jesus is coming again. We know that there is coming a day, and hopefully it's soon, when the trumpet will sound and the church is going to be taken out of here. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be gone. We're going to be raptured to meet the Lord in the air. And then we know, because we have it recorded in the book of the Revelation, we know that John saw all these things happen, and he saw then the tribulation period, and he saw the rapture, he saw the tribulation period, the ruin, he saw the return, the literal second coming of Christ to the earth to defeat the Antichrist, and then he saw the reign, the 1,000-year millennial reign. John saw all of that in the book. Daniel didn't see all that. He didn't see all that. John saw it in specifics. And so we sat down now with the books, and just as what God revealed to Daniel stimulated Daniel to pray and stimulated Daniel to stay faithful and stimulated Daniel to serve, listen, folks, we have a lot more than what Daniel had. We ought to be able to read this book right here, and that ought to motivate us. Listen, Daniel didn't know all the time frame. He didn't know the exact schedule. Wait a minute. We don't know the exact schedule. We don't know the hour, the day, when Jesus is coming again, but we know he's coming. And we know that there are signs that are given, not for the rapture, but for the return. And if we can, on this side of the rapture, see the signs start to unfold that are at least 7 years from today, listen, folks, that ought to show us how soon the Lord's return is at hand. All right? And so Daniel was driven to pray through the prophecies that were given. And folks, the Bible and the prophecies of the Bible ought to drive us to pray. And they ought to drive us to the books. And they ought to drive us to work. And they ought to drive us to serve and to win souls and to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering. And to warn as many people as we can. Hey, God has a plan, folks. And you better get in on God's plan. Now, let's take a minute now and look at the prophet's prayer from a general overall perspective. I think what is happening here is that Daniel is praying because he has all this understanding now of what God's doing. He understands that 70 years, and he's at the beginning of the 70th year. He knows all this, all right? He's seeing all this, and I think that he is praying because he realizes that Israel is not where they should be as a people. They have not learned a thing. And he is ready, and they are not ready for God to work in their lives once again. And I think Daniel knows this. He knows that they have assimilated themselves into the Babylonian culture and into Babylonian society. And Daniel knows that the people are just as far away from God as they can be. And so Daniel thought, well, if they won't pray, then I'll pray for them. If they won't pray, I'll do the praying for them. If they aren't ready to confess their sins, I'll confess their sins for them. If they aren't ready to repent, I will repent in sackcloth and I will bathe myself in ashes. And he would take off his royal robes and he would put on the clothes of a penitent and he would show God just how deeply, at least he felt about these things that God was about to do. And I think that's why he prayed. You don't read in here that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came and joined him. You don't see that he put out an announcement and said, all the Jews gather at my place, we're going to have a prayer meeting. Nothing like that at all. This evidently was Daniel all by himself. Now, the question is, what motivated him to fall on his face before God? I'll tell you what it was. It was faith in thus saith the Lord. Now, folks, if you and I have a whole lot more books than what Daniel had, and we can read this Bible and then look at our world around us and see a world that is just ready and primed for the return of Christ, man, that ought to get us excited. Jesus is coming again. All right? So, I mean, think about it. As rich and as powerful as he was, yet he was willing to humble himself because he knew that God's word was going to be fulfilled. Now, folks, listen. Let me say one more thing before we actually get to the prayer. You might ask, why does God include prayers in the Bible? You see, there are scattered throughout the Bible prayers recorded through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Recorded prayers from several people. Of course, there are some of the prayers that Jesus prayed. John 17, for example. All right, John 17, beautiful prayer, wonderful prayer. There's Daniel's prayer here. Paul, we have some of Paul's prayers in the New Testament. Prayers just scattered throughout the Bible. David and Samuel and Moses and Abraham. I mean, their prayers are scattered throughout the Scriptures. But the question is, why are they there? And I think the reason is because God knew that most of us were not going to be very good at prayer, so he wanted to give us something to go by. I really think that. You want to know how to pray? Read the prayers and see how these men of God in the Bible prayed. You know, that most of us get bored with prayer because we go to God with the gimmies. You know, Lord, give me this and give me that. You know, that's how we approach prayer. We go to prayer with the gimmies. We go to the Lord in prayer selfishly. Selfishly. And when we get into this prayer, you're not going to see Daniel asking God for anything for himself. Everything in this prayer is him asking God on behalf of all the people. He's praying for others. All right? And I think that that's why we get bored with prayer. But folks, when you take the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 17. You don't see the Lord Jesus in that prayer praying for himself. The Lord Jesus is praying for others. He prayed for you. He prayed for me. And it wasn't a selfish thing. And so you're saying, but Pastor, I was just really starting to get into all this prophecy stuff. Man, I was starting to figure this out. I had the Babylonians and the Medes and the Persians and the Greeks and the Romans, and then I had the church age, and then I had the rapture, and then I had the revived Roman Empire, and then Christ coming back, the Ancient of Days. Man, I was just starting to piece it all together and figure it out. And now, here you are stopping, and you're studying this guy's prayer. That's exactly right, folks. And the reason we are is because prophecy. Listen, if in our study of the Scriptures, we are so eager to get on with the learning and the studying of prophecy that we neglect a passage like this one, then the truth of the matter is we're not in the right spiritual condition to get the prophecy anyway. I mean, listen, prophecy is not in the Bible just to satisfy our curiosity about the future. All right? It is here to develop our spiritual understanding. And as our spiritual understanding is developed, then we realize that there is a sovereign God who is in control of everything that's going on. Brethren, we need to realize that God is in good shape tonight. You know, these liberal preachers going around trying to prop God up all the time, trying to help God out. And God doesn't need propped up. God's doing good. Amen. And everything's right on schedule. It's true, it does show what God intends to do, but I want you to notice when Daniel finally pieced everything together and when he finally understood what God's plan was, he was now convinced more than ever that God is God and that God is on the throne and that men and nations are nothing but pawns to be moved and placed wherever God so desires to put them for his purpose. For his purpose. And folks, when Daniel realized that God was God, that's when he went to his knees. Let me tell you something, folks. You hear these people say that God showed up at the end of their bed. Jesus showed up at the end of their bed and talked to them. Don't you believe that for a minute. Every time in your Bible, whenever there was a Christophany, an appearance, pre-incarnate appearance, or like in Paul's case, a post-appearance. Every single time when that person saw the Lord, they fell at his feet as though dead. When Jesus appeared to Saul on his way to Damascus, Saul fell off of his donkey and hit the ground and was blinded by it. When John turned around to see the voice that spake like a trumpet on the Lord's day and he saw that it was the Son of God manifested in all of his glory, the Bible says, and I fell at his feet as though dead. And you hear these guys sitting around talking about, oh yeah, Jesus showed up on the end of my bed, and man, we just rapped and had a good time. Baloney. Baloney. Number one, Jesus doesn't rap. So sick of all that junk. And that's what caused Daniel to go to his knees. And brethren, I tell you, when you start realizing that God has a plan and you start seeing prophecy in the Bible and you start having spiritual understanding and that you are able to see what God is going to do and you're able to identify the signs of the soon return and you see the scriptures unfolding, you are then able to see that behind everything that happens is a sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God who, and so when you realize that, all of a sudden you start paying attention to the Lord. I mean, you start paying attention to the Lord. Let me ask you something, church. Do you think that if an angel showed up here tonight and said, go sit down, and I went and sat down, and that flaming angel turned around and said to each and every one of you, Jesus is coming back Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. What kind of reaction would that have on you? She might scare me to death. Yeah, it'd scare me to death too, to be honest with you. If he told me to sit down, I'd run out the door. That'd scare me to death too. Hey folks, listen. That's the mystery of the whole thing. You know what a mystery is? A mystery is something that there's just no answer to it. You are mystified. You are amazed. You can't figure it out. It's a mystery. And this whole thing of the church and the coming again of the Savior, it's all a mystery. Why is it a mystery? Because God wants us to so walk with Him as if it could happen today. If I told you, if this angel showed up and told you Friday morning, some of you all would party hardy tomorrow night. And then Friday morning at 8 o'clock, you'd be busting down the door. Oh, gonna get right with God. Gonna get right with God. It's a weird, wacky world we live in. Folks, we're to live every day like He could come back today. And be prepared for Him, for His coming. Man, look at that bug. We got bugs crawling on the pulpit now. I sent him to bug heaven. All right, now, think of this, folks. All right, come back now. All right, think of this. What is the end result of all these prophetic promises? What's the end result? I mean, think about it. Here's old Daniel over here now, and he's got 70 years, and God just keeps giving him little tidbits. And finally, here comes the Medes and the Persians, and Daniel realizes, wow, God is in control. Wow, God's word is true. But wait a minute. On that image, there was a head, and there was a chest, and there was a belly, and there was thighs. I mean, in this other, we saw this beast, and then this beast, and this beast, and this beast. Daniel knows that there is succeeding kingdoms. Daniel knows that it's eventually going to end with the Ancient of Days sitting upon the throne. He knows. God showed it to him. What is the ultimate end of all this? Here's Daniel now, back all those years ago, watching things unfold, checking the scriptures to see that it is so. Man, he's sitting there going, wow, the half has never yet been told. And it goes back to what I said to you a couple Sunday nights ago. You know, out of all the prophecies in the scripture, only about half of them have come to fruition. We've still got the other half that's future. Every one of the prophecies that were given up to today, every one of them has come true. There's not, you can't disprove a one. Not a one. But that's only half. The other half is still yet in the future. And so here's Daniel, man, he's sitting there going, wow. Boy, look at what God has done. I mean, look at the end result. The end result is that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the righteous, will one day sit upon the throne of the world and that He will rule and reign supremely. Folks, listen, what could be more exciting than that? I'll tell you what could be more exciting than that. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that trumpet sounding. I'm looking forward to walking on streets of gold. I'm looking forward to seeing my mother again. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing my grandfather again. I'm looking forward to seeing a bunch of church members that have gone on, that I've had their funeral services. I'm looking forward to all that. I'm looking forward to not having any more shoulder pain. I'm looking forward to that. Hallelujah. Aren't you, Doug? Yes, sir, Doug says with the arm that didn't have surgery. I can raise my arm, my one that had surgery 2 years ago, but I can't raise this one. This one's, ow. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But you know, as exciting as all that's going to be, can I give you something that's just as exciting? You see, as a Christian, you have a privilege that the rest of the world does not have. As a Christian, anytime, day or night, anywhere, north, south, east, west, doesn't matter, you can say, Dear Heavenly Father. And you can pray. And when you say, Dear Heavenly Father, this omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, immutable God that has this plan, and half of the plan has already been fulfilled. The other half is going to be fulfilled. Daniel sits here and knows that God is God. We can read the Bible and know that God is God. But here's the good thing. I can bow my head. And the God of the universe, Jehovah God Himself, stops everything that He's doing and says, Yes, Norris, what can I do for you? Amen. What's better than what's coming? I can talk to Him right now. I can walk with Him right now. I can read His Word and He'll speak to my heart. I can read His Word and I can understand it. Hey, I have the same benefits that Daniel had. So, but Daniel was a prophet. Yeah, and you're a saint. You are a high priest. You can go directly to God. You don't need to go through somebody else. We are a kingdom of priests, Jesus said. That is pretty good stuff. And that's why, as I started thinking about this prayer, that's what I saw. Folks, the most exciting thing in the world is the fact that we can be close to this God who told us His plan and who is executing His plan on a daily basis. It's happening. It's happening all around us. And I tell you, I'm not trying to get you worked up here or anything, but I'm telling you, if we knew how close that trumpet blast is, man, I don't see how it can last much longer. That's just my opinion. Opinions are like noses. Everybody has one. But I'm telling you, folks, I believe that the Lord is moving. All right, well, we didn't get very far, did we? We got one verse. All right, did you get anything out of that? All right, now your homework is to read this prayer. All right, start in verse 3, go down through verse 19, and read this prayer. Now, I'm not going to take it line by line, precept upon precept. I'll probably cover most of it next week, and then we'll get on to the latter part of the chapter. But I do want you to read it and be familiar with it and notice how this man prayed. Notice, man, there are four characteristics of God that came to the prophet's mind, and he focused upon those four characteristics. All right? That's what his prayer is all about. There are four areas where Daniel thought about the character of God. And so you read it and you see if you can see them. And then we'll see what God has for us. All right. Sunday morning, Lord willing, and if the rapture doesn't happen, I'm going to preach out of Revelation 6 on the sixth seal judgment. And I want you to hear that. That's the plan anyway. All right. So let's pray. Our Father, we ask now your blessings upon us and thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to realize the importance of prayer and how that, Lord, we now can pray and we can fellowship with you and we can walk with you and know your word. And Lord, just pray that you will help us to desire in our hearts to have that walk and that fellowship with you. Lord, we love your word and we love the plan that is revealed in the Scripture. But Lord, help us to realize that we don't have to wait until we get to heaven, till the rapture happens and we're all raptured out of here. We don't have to wait till then to fellowship with you. We can come boldly before the throne of grace now. We can read our Bibles and we can pray, and Lord, we can fellowship with you now. And so I pray that you will help us to see the truths here tonight and apply them and use them in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. 310, please. 310. And let's sing Footprints of Jesus. 310. Let's sing this. If God's spoken to your heart tonight and you need to come to the altar, I invite you to do so. And just come and do business with the Lord tonight. Pray. If you need to join the church or you need to be baptized or whatever it is you may need, I invite you to come. Let's sing it, please.
See where thy footprints falling lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go.
Let's sing one more verse, please.
Though they lead o'er the cold, dark mountain sea. prints of Jesus that make the pathway go. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go.
All right, folks, visitation tomorrow night is 6:30. I invite you to come and have dinner with us at 6:30, and then we'll go out visiting at 7. And let's pray and ask the Lord to give us a great week, and then look forward to the Lord's Day on Sunday. And again, let me mention to you, thank you so much for responding to the letter that I sent you concerning the giving, the giving matter. And praise the Lord. And we had about $43,000 offering Sunday, and thank the Lord for that. But now let's keep with it, keep up the good work, and just trust God to continue to bless. All right, God bless you. Have a good rest of the week. We'll see you Sunday.